It's amazing what can happen in a couple of months. So what I want to talk about this morning is I feel like I need to just communicate on transition. And why am I going to do that? Well, because I have just gone through a massive transition. So I'm in the middle of it. But I also believe that a lot of you are also in the same place. You may or may not necessarily know it. So I'm going to just kind of do a quick fly through what transition can kind of look like. I told you back in September that you were the cause of my transition, and all of you very un-Christ-like cheered. And it was a year ago, January, that I was here, and God had just flipped my sermon message that I was thinking I was going to come and prepare, and I did something completely different, not completely different, but just very different from what I've done. And people watched at home and said, see, that's what happens when you go away. Things like that happen, and God just sort of steps up and does a little bit of similar but unusual things. Then I came here in September with Jackie to pack up Jesse's car and get stuff in storage, and we bring the car home, and I have another outstanding service with you folks. And then it kind of makes you feel a little bit nervous about today, because you're going, God's been two for two. And, you know, you don't want to really drop a lame egg today. Thank you. So when I was here in September, I had said to you, so it's obvious that God is telling me to shift gears, change perspective, step away from my church that I've been at for 37 and a half years, and step into the unknown. I would have assumed, if you'd have asked me at that time last September, I would have still been working at BBC. So long story short, my last Sunday was December 25th, because God was just expediting time and movement. My church is also officially done. It no longer is named Bradford Baptist Church. It's last Sunday. Was December 25th. And in those few months from when I was here in September, not knowing what was happening, God allowed my leadership team with another church's leadership team to come together, and they're basically forming a merge. And that started on January 15th, is when it really officially got up and running. So I would have said, oh yeah, I'm going to still be working in the church and have a very reduced time and salary and et cetera, and that didn't happen. So it's a lot. It's really interesting what can happen in time. The other interesting thing is that I can come today and bring you greetings from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Bradford, because I'm under their umbrella. I didn't ask them. They asked me. Would I appreciate being under their umbrella? And I was like, you have no idea how many problems you're solving for me. Now, the pastor knew, because we've been good friends for 20 plus years serving in the community. And so he said it was my leadership team who basically came to me and said, we know what's going on with Tim. We're wondering if we can put Tim in a position called pastor in association. So I'm just sort of under their umbrella. And I've got their blessing to be used and go out and do things. And it's actually opening amazing doors of opportunity. And so they're just completely believing where and what I need to be doing and where I need to be going and heading and so all of that. So I just read and finished a book called Transitions. It came via recommended by a friend of Jesse's who was the former pastor at Morro Bay Vineyard Church. And he had heard my story and said, hey, Tim, you should read this book, which I did. And I actually finished I read the vast majority of it on the drive here. And I'm going to touch on it for a little bit, but not much. It's a secular book, but there's lots of good wisdom in there. And I shared some of what I'm going to share with you just about 4 weeks ago with the church in Puerto Escondido, Mexico. And believe it or not, I had a message already prepped and prepared. And the worship team gets up and starts doing their worship time. And all of a sudden, God just starts stirring things. And I went and I got some permissions from the new up and coming leadership team. And all of a sudden, the download comes in the last song. And I'm furiously writing some things down in my notebook. I put my sermon notes away and I get up and then I just riff. And I've just been here since last Tuesday and just been trying to think, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say? I came with every time I come with all these sermons and it never happens. And so here we are. But I think what I'm supposed to share, maybe for one person, which you can all just go, okay, for whoever that one person is, may they just be encouraged, challenged, hear whatever it is that God is wanting to say to them so that they can move forward. Yeah. Or it may be for quite a few of you. But I actually think it's for your church. It's for you, CVC. You're in a transition. If you don't know it, you are. And there's a shift coming. And it's learning how to figure out how do we deal with that. So last Saturday and Sunday, I was with a former colleague in Dallas, Texas. And that was part of our journey as Jesse and I were coming here. And my friend officially retired from ministry in June. Late July, his wife gets diagnosed with a terminal health issue and was told 4 to 6 months. She was gone in September. And now we walked into his house last week, boxes everywhere. He's now downsizing. I said, wow, Doug, you're pulling off 3 stressors in a matter of not even a year. And he goes, yeah, I know, crazy, eh? And as we talked and shared, we were just sort of talking, and he's like 8 years older than I am. But I realized he's in transition just as much as I'm in transition. But his transition is far more dramatic. He's thinking, I'm going to retire, and then my wife and I are going to go traveling. Not to ever get on the first trip. That was just about to happen, but she wasn't feeling good. And they said, well, let's just wait and we'll just go get tests. Never gets out of bed. She just takes a different trip, an eternal one. So Moses and Joshua, and Joshua has been walking with Moses for many, many years, serving under Moses, serving, even being one of the ones who spent time in the tent of meeting. And in Deuteronomy 34, when it's the closing chapter of Deuteronomy and it's the closing chapter of Moses' life, and verse 9 says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And so the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Transition. Then we go to Joshua chapter 1. Now Joshua is going to have his encounter with the Lord. And you know what, guys? I came in kind of feeling like, I don't know if I'm really got a handle on this message yet. And then your worship team just goes boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, oh, okay. You really want the God who was with your mothers and fathers? Yes. But then there's always going to be a change. It's going to be different. I know my faith walk is very different from my mom and dad's. And my son, has a very different faith walk than I'd have. And that is okay, because we're all heading in the right direction as we follow Jesus. And so Joshua, in this transition, has an amazing encounter with the Lord, not surprising. And in Joshua 1, verses 6, 7, and 9, a couple of things come ringing out, and I'm sure you all know it. Be strong and
courageous.
Three times. God says this to the military guy, be strong and courageous. What? He's the military guy. Like whenever Moses was, okay, I got the plans, and you know, Josh, you got to go, okay, out he goes. But it's the military guy who's being told, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And then also twice the Lord says, I am with you. Elijah, Elisha, the prophetic mantle being passed. And Elisha knows that this transition is coming and he's going to miss his mentor who's been mentoring him all of this time. And he says in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, I just want a double portion of your spirit. Nobody's ever asked that before. Like, where did he come up with that idea that I want the double portion? And Elijah says, if you see me die, if you see me leave, it's yours. What? Now, let's just face it. Sometimes the prophetic people are a little bit out there. Right? And that was an out there thing. And so here's what my friend says to Jesse last Sunday morning as we're getting in the car. And he says, I pray that you'll have success three times more than your dad. Now, I didn't sit in the truck going, oh, the stinking guy. I sat there and I smiled. I had a goofy smile on my face as we went to church. And I went, oh, yeah, that'd be good. That would be good. And then you got the kings transitioning. Saul, David, Solomon, Saul. Saul was man's choice, right? So remember that, because in Israel's history, they wanted a king. And God kept going, nah, 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 you don't know what you're asking for. So they got man's king. And they got a man who just exuded manly wisdom, not godly wisdom. And then as you read 1 Samuel, then you see that God starts raising up the right king, the king who would have the heart after him. He'd have his problems, and he'd have his struggles. And then there was the next transition as David then transitions to Solomon, who then exuded wisdom. Wisdom beyond any human mindset that could come into play. Then we get to John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist, the bridegroom. Jesus, the groom. JB knew his position. So this is, and you're probably going, where are you going with this? Okay, so there's so many angles that I could go on this, but I just, there's a couple of things. So first of all, know your role within the kingdom of God. Amen. And be content with it. Now, I'm in a really goofy spot. Because I'm not, like, I know people will still call me PT because that was the nickname that I had in all my years, you know. So I'm Pastor Tim. But Pastor Tim doesn't really have a church. He doesn't really have a congregation. And I'm still in this place of still figuring, what is this ultimately all going to look like? Because I'm still not really entirely sure. Yet I'm here today, which is part of what I believe is what God wants me to be doing. Connecting with churches that I've already built relationship with. Because the Mexican church is already now saying, you mean we could have you come back and spend time with us? And it's like, yes. So their home church in Kelowna, BC is now trying to figure out, we need to somehow get Tim to parachute down for a couple of weeks. and just invest in the younger pastors that are there. I'm in. Send me. I'm in. That's what I signed up for. So know your position and be content with it. All right? So there's John. In John 3, verse 30, there's all this conversation because now Jesus' ministry is starting to pick up. It's picking up steam. And yet JB knew his place. He said, I must decrease so that he must increase. And that's a great mindset for us as believers, is that we don't get in the way of Jesus. You know, one of the interesting things about the Asbury Awakening that just happened is that they were aware of a big time ministry that was cruising in on their bus with their people that had apparently said, we're going to come in and we're going to show you how to really go. And the students were waiting for the bus when it arrived. And the leader, which wonderfully the article never told us who it was. And I was like, brilliant. Got off, they said, here's how this is going to play out. The students are leading it. The students are being guided by the Spirit. If you can't abide by that, then please, by all means, feel free to go home. They went home. The kids knew their place. They were staying true. And I was just, though, I was praying in Mexico because I was like, okay, God, just bear fruit. Plus, I was hoping that Jesse and I, because now we started scheming and going, could we swing by Asbury on our way down? And he's like, yeah, I was wondering the same thing, Dad. Well, maybe we'll need to leave a day ahead. And anyways, it didn't happen. Matthew 11. In Matthew 11, verses 2 to 19, you can just flip to it in your Bibles if you want to, and I'm just going to skim because I sort of see how the time's flying here. So JB gets to a point where he's not quite sure, Jesus, are you the Messiah? Now, isn't it amazing that JB's forgotten, or he probably remembers the baptism and going, all of what he saw, what he heard, he hears the Father's voice, he sees the Spirit descending, and yet, in time, he's still, I'm not sure. Sometimes that happens in transition. We thought we know, we've heard God, right? And then all of a sudden we just get nervous feet and we're not quite sure, and sometimes we just need to get grounded. And then, you know what Jesus says? Go back and tell John. The blind see, the lame walk, and the good news of the kingdom is being preached. It gets settled. And so the transition comes, and Matthew 14 talks about it. In verse 12 of Matthew 14, there is the death of John the Baptist, and Jesus is now told by the disciples of John, by the way, John was now murdered. We've taken his body, we've buried him. And in John, and it's so interesting how Matthew talks about it in verse 12, is that he hears about it. Verse 13, Jesus says he decides to withdraw from the crowds and he wants to go and mourn because this is his cousin. This has been his bridegroom the best man who's been setting up the ministry for him to walk into. And he wants to go and grieve. And then the crowds follow. And then Matthew says, and Jesus is moved by compassion. If you know your role as you serve, you will be moved by the call to ministry. So even though the transition had now come into play, that now Jesus is the Messiah, he's now on this trajectory, even though there's grief and mourning that's sitting in his back pocket and he wants to just get away with the lads to cry and grieve, and he sees the crowds and he has compassion. And then in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, the everyday commission, Jesus is now settling and has already begun the process of multiplication, because Jesus was invested in three of the disciples. And then it was the 12, and then it was the 72, and then it was the 144, and then it was the 500. And so Jesus was already beginning to multiply, because he knew that there was going to be a moment when the transition was going to fully come into play. And Jesus is going to finally hand it off to us weak and feeble human beings. Like, what are you thinking, God? Like, let's look at the Old Testament, because it's just riddled with bad examples of, don't give it to us, we're going to mess it up. But when you see the master plan of the Father, Son, and Spirit is that I'm going to invest it into our hands. And he's going to let us run with it, and he's going to let us muck it up. And I know some of my theological friends have a problem with reckless love, but that's a little bit reckless, isn't it, God? Putting ministry into our hands. And so the transition comes in Acts 1, 6 to 8. It's time. Jesus is just about to leave, and it's time. Don't worry. Go serve. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And you've heard me say this a couple of times before. So, you are called right where you are. You work at the cookie cutter, right? What? Or the cookie crock, or what is it? Cookie. Yeah, you're a bit of a crock. Okay, well. Can you serve Jesus there?
Right. Absolutely.
That's why I'm still putting all the effort to stay there.
Great.
I have a ministry, a little ministry, but it's a ministry.
Right.
A lot of old people there.
Yeah. And you stay at home wives. Oh, it's probably way less, right? You don't really have a role to play at home, right? The answer is, Tim, I think you're wrong on that one. Say, serve where you're at. It was interesting on Thursday morning with the men's group, Jim was doing this amazing devotional. He was like, he was just hammering at home. And it was funny because they were kind of talking about it, but they didn't say the word transition. But we were all going around the circle saying, okay, so what's changed? What's changed? You know? And there was this one guy who said, well, I don't really do anything. I just drive buses up at Hearst Castle. And I'm like, hello, serve where you're at. And you just need to have your eyes and your ears open to just seeing how can you be used by God wherever it is. Notice the transitions. Notice the people that are around you. Notice those that you can influence that might pick up the mantle, that might be the next Elisha, or might be the next Solomon, or they might next be the next Peter, James, John, and so on. Can you see your past transitions that God has walked you through? Have you noticed his providence, his provision, his protection? See, that's what 2022 has been for me and my wife. We've just, like, as we started to transition out of, like, I really literally thought I was going to be there to the day I was going to die. I thought I was going to be the one who would close the doors and say, good run, God. I'm into whatever retirement is looking like. Can you see? CVC, you are in a place of transition. Pastors, transition can be hard because sometimes it means there's an ending. Endings are not fun. I'm going to tell you, my ending at BBC was quite interesting. a lot of people thought I was grieving, and I think we've been grieving for several years. So the transition out of it wasn't that bad. It can be very disengaging, it can be dismantling, it can be disenchanting, it can be disoriented and all of that thing. And then there's a calm in the midst of the storm, so says the book. There's a neutral zone, and then there's a beginning. And it's interesting because I'm in the middle of the neutral zone. I am now, because I read the book, I said to Jesse, I'm in the neutral zone. And he talks about it and says, don't fight to figure out how to close off and don't fight to move forward. Just wait because it's going to come. And I thought, now, isn't that interesting from a secular person? Because really, in essence, it says, wait for God to move the doors open. Don't be afraid. Leaders, don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Ask for a double portion of the Spirit. God is with you. Who do you need to invest in? Just sit here just for a moment. Just, God, who is it that you want me to be investing in? Is it one of my peers? Part of the seniors group? Is it one of the younger folks here in the church or somebody in the community? Who is it? God, you are the God of transition. You moved us out of the law into the age of grace, and we are so much better for it. Thank you for Christ willing to transition out of the heavenlies and to come into our flesh to model what it means to follow you for our benefit. And then you transitioned away so that the Spirit could come and be in our midst. Thank you, Lord. I pray for all of what is transitioning in the folks that are sitting in this room, for those of this whole church. God, keep our eyes fixed on you. To God be the glory. What great things he has done and will do and will do and will do. And God's people said, amen.